Turn to Psalms chapter 27. I want to bring a message this morning concerning the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. There are those that love Him, those that don't love Him. That's just fact. That's true. There are those that seek Him, and there are those that don't seek Him. There are those that inquire after Him, as our Scripture says, and behold His beauty, and there are those that don't. And the only reason that those that don't, is because they don't see His beauty. Now, I've seen some beautiful things in my life, and I'm sure you have too. Most of you have traveled far more than I have. Been to other shores and seen things that God has made that is breathtaking. Those things He has given us, and I didn't know this until recently, those things He has given His people to enjoy. Everyone else looks at them and don't realize why they're there. But God has given them to us, His people, to enjoy. Those are natural things, and I'm thankful. But what our Scriptures speak of this morning is spiritual things. Things that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ and the beauty of His person in particular. If you look with me in this chapter 27, verse 4, the writer said, "There's one thing that I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." That's amazing, isn't it? The psalmist David, king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, that would make a statement like this. He said, "There's one thing." He said, "I've seen everything, done everything, had everything." But he said, "There's just one thing. After seeing everything, done everything, having everything, there's just one thing that's going to satisfy me. And that's what I'm going to seek after." What is it, David? "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold," not just to be there, not just to show up. You know, some folks go to church just to show up, just to be there. They say, "Well, I went to church last Sunday. I was there, I was counted. I was number 36. That's count everybody, count everything. Church I was raised in had counted the Bible, counted the people, counted everything. Even had a scoreboard up on the wall. How many was there, how much money was given, how many Bibles were brought, how many birthdays there were. Everybody counts everything. I was there, I was counted." That wasn't the reason David wanted to be there. He wasn't there to be counted. He wasn't there to be seen, show up on Sunday morning. He said, "I want to be there to behold the beauty of the Lord." He said, "That's one thing I desire, one thing I seek after, is to behold His beauty. All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His holy temple." Beauty is an eye of the beholder. Have you ever heard that cliche? Beauty is an eye of the beholder. Those that know Christ behold Him. He's beautiful. None could compare to Him. Those that don't see Him, there's no beauty. In Isaiah 53, it says there's no beauty that we should desire Him. That's the natural man. That's the reason that natural man doesn't have this one desire, doesn't seek, doesn't inquire, doesn't dwell in the house of the Lord. Isaiah wrote this by the inspiration of God. He said, "Who have believed our report?" Who have? Who do you reckon believed our report? Believed our doctrine, believed the truth, believed on Christ. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That wasn't what David said. He said, that's one thing I desire, to behold him. Isaiah said, natural men don't see his beauty. They don't see him and desire him. If they did, they would desire him. It's like a tabernacle in the wilderness. It's made out of badger skins. Killed badgers and skinned them and made a tent out of it. Look at it on the outside, it was just drab and plain and undesirable. That's the way most folks see Christ. Nothing outstanding about him. But boy, on the inside, there's the Ark of the Covenant, the gold, all the instruments of service. And then, boy, not only that, but when the high priest, the great high priest, came in, oh, that's when things began to happen, when it was most glorious. Those things just sat there, typical, figurative, but they wasn't doing nothing. But boy, when that great high priest came in, that blood, things began to happen. Everybody got quiet. They began to inquire to see, is the Lord going to accept the sacrifice? Is he going to accept the blood? Beautiful on the inside. Beautiful on the inside. Glorious on the inside. And the great high priest made things shine. Glorious. It's the way it is when the believer sees the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Have I ever seen him? Have you ever seen him? Have we ever seen him? We just heard about him. I know we've heard about him, but have we ever seen him? Everybody's heard about him. I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I hate myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, when I see the Lord, the King, and his glory, my goodliness turns to corruption. I'm nothing. And to be found in his presence and to behold his beauty is a treasure beyond compare. He said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one cried unto another and said, what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When you behold the Lord Jesus Christ, behold his beauty, the whole earth is full of his glory. It is. It really is. It really is. Alluring, captivating, compelling. It's like a blind man begins to see light. He wants more light and more light and more light. And that's the way a believer is when he begins to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to see more of him, more and more of him. Not just for his benefits. Most folks love his benefits. They love what he gives them. They love their bellies filled and their bank accounts bulging, and they love their health and their wealth and whatever he can give them, that's what they love. But him, they'd be just as happy if Beelzebub gave it to them. Because for them, it's just what they get. It's not the giver. But here we're concerned with the giver. He said, this one thing, of all things, and everything else just melts to nothing, this one thing I desire of the Lord. He asked the Lord. He desired it. He asked him for it. What do you pray for? What do you pray for when you go to the Lord? What do you ask for? This is what this man asked for. He said, I want to behold your beauty. I want to behold your glory. That's what I want. I may be a pauper. I may be a vegetable. I may have no friends. But this one thing I desire and I live for is to see your glory and to see your beauty. Now that is the heart of a believer. If your heart is less than that, you miss Christ. If the desire of your heart is not the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've never seen His beauty. Is that being too narrow? If the desire of your heart is not Christ, then you've missed Him. Because once you've seen Him, that desire grows and grows and grows. And it's not because of anything you've done or anything you're doing or not doing. It's simply because you've seen Him. Simply because He's revealed yourself to Him. That's it. That's the cause. That's the reason. Now we see Him from inside. From inside. The God-man. We see the gold. The real gold. That makes the gold of this world look like trash. We see the real ark. It makes our safe haven in this world a pitfall, an abyss, a danger, a horror. But when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the real ark. He's our ark of the covenant. He's our ark of safety. He's our safe haven. And He's beautiful. We see Him, our mercy seat. We see Him, our sacrifice. We see Him, the great high priest, offering up His own blood to God for us. And it's not just the simply saving us from hell and saving us to heaven. We see this man, this glorious person, adorned in his holy raiment with his own blood and love in his heart and grace in his heart and forgiveness in his heart, offering himself up to God for sinners. They said, I want to see beauty. I want to inquire His holy temple. I will be there. I'll be there. You don't have to hogtie people and drag them to church or the gospel priest. They want to come. They want to come. His glorious and His glorious person, His garments of salvation that adorn Him. We see Him in His beauty. You know, a sovereign. Set on our sign out there, Sovereign Grace Fellowship. Somebody asks you what kind of church you go to, you probably tell them a Sovereign Grace Church. You go to these websites and you go to a Sovereign Grace website, type in Sovereign sometimes, see, well, you just have a website, just keep popping up now. Sovereign Grace. Sovereign Grace. He is the sovereign. And grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Him in His beauty as the sovereign. He's a sovereign. It's not just simply that He has power to save and to damn and to do what He pleases. We know that He does. And we rejoice in the fact He does. But look who He is doing it. You see, do you understand what I'm saying? Look who He is that's doing it. Look who it is that's ruling and reigning in power and glory. Look at the man, the person. Not just what he's doing, look who's doing it. You know, when I first began to see something of the truth of the doctrines of grace, I was just so amazed at the doctrines. But now I'm amazed at the Christ of the doctrine. Made a lot of difference. I don't know when I saved. But I know it's a lot different just knowing something. Knowing Christ. I'm amazed at Him. I want to see Him. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. His power, glorious power to create worlds and to do as He pleases. And now I don't look at the world He creates and what He does when He pleases. I look at Him who's doing it. See? That's a glorious thing about it. It's Him who's doing it. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying or not, but I do a little bit. I'm not enthralled at all with cold, hard doctrine anymore. But I am with He who is, in whom those doctrines live and operate. He's beautiful. He's the sovereign. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. The Lord Jesus Christ. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His holy temple." To behold, that's all reason I won't be there. That's the one reason I won't be there, is to behold Him. And I'll tell you something, if whatever you listen to, look at, read, and wherever you go, if you're a believer, In the realm of religion, if He ain't there, don't go back. I'm not telling you what to do and what not to do, but I'm saying, why would you? He said, I desire to dwell in His temple and inquire in His temple all the days of my life, to behold His glory and His beauty. And if He ain't there, I don't want to be there either. I want to see more of Him. I want to learn more of Him. I want to behold Him. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. This is a promise to the believer. You believer, this is a promise to you. Now listen to what God says. This is what God said. Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. You're going to see. You're going to see Him here on earth. You are. While you're here on this earth, the child of God, you're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ and His beauty. If you're His, He's going to reveal Himself to you. And you're going to see Him. And when you do see Him, you're going to be like David. You're going to have the same sentiment as David. He said, one thing that I desire. One thing I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His holy temple. I tell you, you that know Christ are so blessed. In Psalms 90 verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord, look at that. Let the beauty of the Lord. That's not saying we have control over this and we let God do this, we let God do that. When you see that word in the Scriptures, that comes with the power and authority of the Scriptures and the power and authority of God to make it be so. And let the beauty of the Lord. It's like when you walk out in the sunshine. You and I walk out in the sunshine. I'm going to say, let the sun shine on you. Just let it shine on you. It's already shining on you. I didn't let it shine on you. We say that. Let the sun shine on you. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us, of our God be upon us. That's my prayer, isn't it yours? Let His beauty be upon us. You know what? If you can behold His beauty, and the more you behold His beauty, the more your troubles and trials and the allurement of this world and the entanglements of this world and cares of this world, the more they'll pass away. And the more you see His beauty and His glory, the more you'll be committed, as David was, to see His beauty and His glory and to inquire in His holy temple. You know, to see His beauty and His glory works a life-changing effect on a believer's life. It really does. It changes your whole way of thinking, your whole way of living. It changes everything about you. You just don't think the same. You know, you're thinking, I want to see more of Him. Isn't that the way it is? I want to see more of Him. You know, you put another CD on, you plug another tape in, you open another book, you open the scriptures. You say, well, you're ready to go to church service at 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, it's time to go yet? You're just in a hurry to go to the house of the Lord. Hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, one thing I desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to see His beauty and see His glory. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Do you think you'd do that? Do you think you'd give to the Lord the glory due His name? I don't think I can, but I think I'd love to try. By God's grace, I'd love to try to give Him the glory due to His name. How do we give Him glory? To behold His beauty. You know, this essentially, to behold the beauty of the Lord, is the believer's life. This, listen, I'm going to give you two things that this really is. To behold the beauty of the Lord is the believer's life. This is what he lives for, is to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's what our text is saying. David said, this one thing. That's my life. That's where I'm going to spend my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's his life. Secondly, that's our good works. You say, well, I don't see that. I do. That's a good, if you're beholding the beauty of the Lord and you're acquiring His holy temple and you're seeking Him, then you're right in the path of good works. There ain't no better works than that. Is there? What's he doing? What's he doing? Where's he going? What's he thinking about? What are you thinking about? Where are you going? What are you doing? Well, it's one thing. I desire the Lord and ask Him to give me grace to do, grace to have, grace to see, is to behold His beauty. So I'm going where I need to go. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. Whatever it is, that's what I'm going to do with God's grace. Because that's my desire. And give glory to His name, due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord. We come to church and we go home. We come to church and we go home. We preach and we pray and we sing. But oh, to worship the Lord. Lord, one thing I'd like to do before I die. I'm serious as I can be. I'd like to worship You. I'd like to behold Your beauty.
Amen.
And all I can do is go to the house of the Lord and ask Him, seek Him, inquire. But Lord, You're going to have to make it happen. Tune my heart to sing Thy praise. Psalm 48, verse 2, beautiful for situation. That means everything is just right. Do you see that in Psalm 48, verse 2? Look at that. Beautiful for situation. Can't find anything wrong with it. You know, since the Lord began to show me some truth, show me the gospel, reveal Himself to me, give me some love for Him, love for the truth, I can't find a thing wrong with it. Can you? I can't find a thing wrong with it. The more sovereign I see that He is, the better it is. The more sinful I see I am, the better it is. He came to save the worst of sinners. The more I see the salvations of Christ, the better I like it. You like some good news? I'll tell you some good news. Friend of mine, pastor friend of mine, try to make this short, this story, this truth. Heard it last night. Went in and told Robin about it. Friend of mine, pastor, him and his wife riding down the road, and they picked up something like a trader's heifer. They had an ad in it, and they'd never had got any calls, so they picked one up to see if their ad was really in it. She was driving, he was reading. Before he got to it, he found this ad that said, looking for a church that preaches the truth, preaches the gospel, that's Calvinistic in doctrine. Can't find one. If it's 30, 45 minutes or hour from where we live, get in that place, please give us a call. Preacher said, as skeptical as I am, he said, I laid it down, told wife about it. That's about it. He said, about a week, he said, I got in the car to go somewhere, and that thing was still laying in the car seat. He said, I picked it up, and he thought, well, I'll give those folks a call, and he did. And he said, they wept over the phone. Husband and wife both got on the phone. They've never been under any gospel preaching anywhere. Nowhere. Just was reading the scriptures to family together. And they began, they was going to churches here and there, and they began to see. They said, well, if what the scriptures say here, we're wrong. What we've been hearing is wrong. Who's telling the truth? Where are we hearing the truth? And so they wept on the phone. Said he told them where they were meeting at. And he said last Sunday, that was last week, they talked to him last Sunday, they showed up. Husband, his wife, and four children. And so they sat and just on the edge of their seat and just tickled to death to hear the gospel. Amen. You like that good news? You realize what we've got? Here's people out in the desert, dry, thirsty. Didn't think you'd ever find a place to hear the truth. Beautiful for situation. The gospel's just right. Fits the sinner to the T. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Beautiful. In Isaiah 33:17, thine eyes shall see the king his beauty. They shall see the king in his beauty. Not just the king, but the king in his beauty. There are many things that we are occupied with and involved in this world. Isn't that true? Some more than others. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe some greater things than others, but we're all occupied all the time with something or another, if it's foolish or not. We're all occupied with something and involved in this world. We have our families, our relationships, our jobs, and our physical existence and well-being. These things are important to us. And they should be. They should be important. These things are necessary. Yet the child of God, by God's grace, has brought and is bringing all of these things, now listen, under subjection to Christ and His will and purpose. Let me say all that again. What I'm saying is this, that those that see the King in His beauty and inquire in His holy temple, inquire of Him, all of these things that we're occupied with, family, jobs, all of these things come down to this one thing, to the will and purpose of God. Lord, all these things are yours. All these things, what I want is to see you, worship you, and behold you. And if they get in the way of that, you get them out of my life. Family, whatever it is, get it out. If it come between me and the worship of you and beholding your beauty, because there's one thing Not a half a dozen. One thing. I deserve the Lord, and that will I seek after all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His holy temple. The child of God is occupied with Christ and the things of God. Although these things that we mentioned are important and necessary, the believer's life is the Lord Jesus Christ, not just the preacher's life. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say this, that the pastor, the preacher, the one that God's called, his occupation is the gospel. That's his occupation. That's what he's occupied with. That's his, if you will, that's his job. That's what he does. He studies, he prepares, he preaches the gospel, he seeks God's faith. But is that not your occupation as well? I think I'd be remiss as well if I didn't say that this is the believer's life. And this is not a law of commandment, this is just how it is. That's Christ is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Christ, who is our life, then we appear with Him in glory. Philippians 1:21 says this, for me to live is Christ. That's what it says. For me to live is Christ. What does that say? That's saying what he said in Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, right here on this earth today, right now, and all through this next week, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, beholding his beauty. I live minute by minute, day by day, month by month, year by year, a life in the Lord Jesus Christ, beholding his beauty. Philippians 3:8, Paul said this. He said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss, or but nothing. It means the same thing. I count all things nothing for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have crucified, suffered, crucified the flesh, suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may behold his beauty. That's what he's saying. He's saying no less than what David said. Now what I said earlier, this reinforces what I said earlier, is that if Christ is not our life, if he's not the object of why we live, then we don't know him. We just don't know him. It's either, see, it's either this, it's either Christ or the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I didn't say that, God did. And except you love me, said he, you shall die in your sins. And we love him because he first loved us. Now this is a revelation. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What captivates you, allures you, takes up your time, occupies your mind and your thoughts and your desires, that is your God, and you'll live with it and you'll die with it. If it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die with whatever God you've got. If it's money, entertainment, whatever it might be. But he said, I count all things lost that I may win Christ. Only those who know him and see him by faith share Paul's interest and convictions concerning Christ. The reason for this intense interest, and I purposely put this in here, and I know that many times I'm as cold as a millstone. I'm as hard as a rock. Seemed like nothing. I sat in a pew and other people rejoicing and preacher preaching the truth, and I sat in a pew and just be as cold as a stone. And I know there's times that we're like that. But the believer's life, his desire, the tenor of his life, is a life of intense interest in the seeking of the beauty and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what he must have. And the reason for this intense interest is that the child of God sees a beauty in him that surpasses all else. That everything else loses its beauty and its allurement and its compulsion to come to it. Everything else, it's like a candle in the light of the noonday sun. Everything else becomes obscure. This one thing, the writer said, have I desired the Lord. This one thing will I seek after. He didn't say he fully had it, and he was there, but he said, this one thing I've desired, that will I seek after, that I'll acquire after. This is what I'm going for. This is what I'm living for. All the days of my life is to see his beauty, behold his beauty and his glory. This is it. That's my desire. This beauty the believer desires. This one the child of God seeks after and inquires after is Christ. Stop seeking to go to heaven now. That's not what your desire, to go to heaven. Your desire is not to miss hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to miss heaven. That's not what's on my mind, on my thoughts, it's here, it's belief. You know what it is? I want to see Christ. Heaven would be hell if he wasn't there. And you may not know it, unbeliever, but you're living in hell right now if you don't know Christ. It's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. He said, this one thing will I seek after. Christ. I'll give you four or five things quickly. Then you can just make a mental note of this, or you can jot it down. But I find most of the time we're jotting something down. When I'm jotting something down, I'm missing something. But you can jot this down. Maybe you won't miss it. That will I seek, first of all. First thing. Got to be the first thing. Always Christ. Not his benefits. Not his provisions. Nothing like that. Is Christ. This man, Christ Jesus. This one that I want to behold. His beauty. One thing, Christ. That will I seek after. His person. He said, they that seek me early shall find me. Right now is early. It is. Right now they're seeking. What can I do? What can David do? I don't know if you're a believer or unbeliever. That's not significant to me right now. What it is, seek the Lord. David said, I'll seek it. I'll seek this. This is what I desire. That will I seek after. He said, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Let me ask you something. This may sound Armenian, but whatever it sounds like is okay. Don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it if you don't. Do you have a desire right now in your heart? You didn't muster it up. I didn't put it there, but you've got a desire for Christ. You say, preacher, you talk about some things. I just I wish I could desire. I wish I would be able to seek. I want to do that. Well, let me give you a little encouragement. Just a little encouragement. No guarantee, but a little encouragement. If you've got that want to, that wish to, that desire to, maybe, just maybe, God put it there. And if He did, you're going to see His beauty. You're going to see His glory. I'll guarantee you that. If He put it there. If He put it there, you will. David said in Psalm 119, verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." And my whole heart. See, it's a heart thing. This is a heart thing. With my whole heart. This is not just a casual thing. See, what we are most of the time is casual. This is not a casual thing. It's a real thing. It's a heart thing. Song of Solomon. Let me give you two verses. First of all, we seek Christ first. We seek His righteousness. Seek His glory. Seek salvation in Him. In Him we see the beauty of Him and His salvation. But let me give you what in the Song of Solomon, what the writer said. By night, this is the desire of the church, the desire of the believer. By night on my bed, I sought Him whom my soul loveth. Now think of this. By night on my bed, I lay awake. I wasn't worried and fretting what tomorrow was going to bring. I wasn't worried and fretting whether I was going to heaven or going to hell. I wasn't worried and fretting over my sickness. I wasn't worried and fretting over my bills. I wasn't worried and fretting over my relationships. What was I doing? By night on my bed, I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him. Oh, but I found Him not. I saw Him, but I couldn't find Him. I wanted Him so badly. I wanted to see His glory, see His beauty, but I couldn't find Him. I'll arise now and go about the city and the streets and the broadways. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. That's what I do when I get up in the morning. I sought Him all night. I'm going to seek Him all day. He said, I sought Him, but I found Him not. You know what was going on here? The Lord had already found Him. And He gave me love for Him, a desire for Him, to behold His beauty. And that's what every believer does, is seek Him. He said, I found Him not. But then He did find Him. He said, I told you I'd give you a little encouragement here. He did find Him. In chapter 5, verse 16, this is what he said. This is what this person said when he found Him. His mouth is most sweet. The words of His mouth, I desire more than my necessary food. His mouth is sweet. It's like lovers when they come together and embrace and their lips meet. And that feeling, that love that no one can explain and very few have. But oh, how precious that is. His mouth is most sweet. He is altogether lovely. Altogether. Nothing that's not beautiful about Him. This is my beloved. This is where I found Him. I sought Him all night. Sought Him all day. And I found Him. When I found Him, oh, we kissed. We embraced. This is my beloved. This is my friend. O ye daughters of Jerusalem. One thing, he said. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire His temple. I know this lady few years ago. She's real sick. And she had to be carried to where she went. And they carried her to church, carried her in, lay her down on the front pew. She loved the gospel. Makes me so ashamed of myself. She loved the gospel. And she'd never been baptized. She said, "One day I want to be baptized. I want to confess Christ the way God told me to. The way the scriptures told me. I want to do it the way He said to do it. I want to honor Him and confess Him to the world. I want to be baptized." And they baptized her. She's gone now, hopefully to be with the Lord. One thing. That's what I'm saying, one thing. I desire the Lord. Lord, give me that desire. Let's bow our heads.